I've got a 3-year-old grandson named Elijah. Whenever I try to help him, he tries to climb up the slide. He does it all by himself. And I say, Elijah, would you like me to help you? And he says, I've got this. And I say, Elijah, you know, the things that scare me, Grampy, is the V thing. So the V's that go up, there's no support underneath, you know, and he puts his little feet in the V. I say, Elijah, can I help you? Grampy, I've got this. You know, a little bit impatient at that point. So Grampy quits asking after a while. You have to admire his spunk. 3, he's fearless, absolutely fearless. He is confident. And back in July, I thought the very same thing. You know, I went to my parents for a 2-week vacation, arrived on July 27th. The very next day, on July 28th, I went hiking in a small little state park. It was my idea, and my nephew went with me, and he's 16. Very agile. He left the path. He hopped over to the waterfall, you know, rock to rock to rock to rock. I thought, you know what? I've got this. So I started hopping, and I did. I made it to the waterfall. It was wonderful. Beautiful waterfall. Took pictures. Had a little devotional time. Had a great time. Nephew fished. And then on the way back, it happened. So I'm hopping from rock to rock. I am literally 2 hops from level ground, 2 boulders from level ground. The hop that I made, the boulder, I did not see it until I was in midair, was a little bit inverted. And so my knee became inverted. And I heard the snap, and I felt the pain. And somebody said, did you cuss? And I did not cuss. I started praying out loud, like Jeremiah, wailing and saying, oh, Lord, not again, because I had just, you know, in another hiking accident, I'd torn my ACL, and that's a whole other story 12 years ago. So the people rushed toward me until they heard me praying, and then they stopped, you know, stayed about 10 feet away, and I was still praying. And, you know, I figured at that point that I needed a park ranger. Fortunately, he was nearby, and he had a gator. You know what a gator is, crawls over anything, was able to get me out of there. And I just was so comforted by the fact he said, you're not the first and you won't be the last that I've hauled out of here. So. I've got this. Well, I did not have this. I had pain, I had discouragement, and I had a really discouraging day that day. It was good for my parents. I spent the next 2 weeks on the couch talking to my mom, talking to my dad, and it was a really good time. It really was. It was a meaningful time. I'd planned to fish and do different things with my brother, but God knew, and it was a meaningful time. Well, the question is, have you ever been having a problem that just seems absolutely insurmountable? It just seems like there was no way out, that it was hopeless, that it was helpless, and it felt very frustrating. You know, I want us to put us in the place of the Israelis as they are facing the Red Sea. They've got the Egyptians coming behind them. The Egyptians are loaded for bear. They have 600 chariots. War chariots is the translation. They would have 3 guys in that chariot, and one of them, his sole job was to spear people as he drove by them. And so this was a very difficult thing for shepherds that really they had a few weapons, the Bible tells us, but there's really no way that they had this. And then God, in all the most frustrating thing, he tells Moses, hey, I'm leading you, but he leads them right up to the Red Sea. And there's no way that they have this. There's no way. They are trapped. And if you saw the beauty of the passage, we don't have time to develop it today, but God sent an angel that was behind them, if you saw that, in the pillar of cloud, and it protected them while this whole process is happening. But they are trapped against the Red Sea. There's no way they're going to make it across. You can't scuba dive 1 million people across. The Bible says there were 600,000 men plus women and children. You're not going to walk on the water across. You're not going to phone a friend. You're not going to get airplane tickets. You are just stuck. Put yourself in their place. You look at your mom and she's crying. You look at your kids and they're wailing. And there's just no way that anybody's going to stand up and say, hey, I've got this, because nobody does and nobody can. Life can be overwhelming at those moments. And God can lead us to Red Sea moments. He can get us to the place where he simply allows things to happen in our life, or he causes things to happen in our life. You know, let's talk about the allowing things for just a second. So Mark Buchanan is one of my favorite authors. He's one of these guys that he's like Max Lucado on steroids. He just is an outstanding guy. And one of his books he has written is called Your God is Too Safe. I even love the title, Your God is Too Safe. And he says this about God allowing things in our life. He says God sometimes even allows deep hurts in our life because they are wounds through which the light shines. And what he goes on is he develops that concept. He says as God allows things to come into our personal life, and sometimes it's relationship difficulties, whatever it is, he says it can scar and cut our very soul. But he says if we allow Christ to begin to work in that situation, He says the light of Christ comes in through the wound. The light of Christ comes in and begins to shape us into the mind of Christ so that our view becomes Christ from the cross. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. Somehow our minds begin to be transformed if we allow the wounds to be healed and to have the light of Jesus Christ. I love that concept. It's a wonderful, wonderful concept. Here it is. God has allowed them to go up against the Red Sea. And we'll return to this in just a minute, this allowing and God causing. But for now, we just need to know that as we face our Red Sea, we do need a hero, right? We need a hero. It's not going to be Superman. It's not going to be Iron Man. But we know who it is that's going to show up, right? God shows up. And he shows up in such a spectacular way that this event alone shapes Israel's history. They will refer to it over and over and over again throughout the rest of the Old Testament. God shows up. Let's look at two different principles that will give us a lot of hope today. And the first one is this. Live in expectation of his presence in our problems. And the key word there is expectation. And number two, be still enough to face the water and feel the wind. And that's when we imagine ourselves in front of the Red Sea. And you remember it said the wind started to blow. So we'll talk about that in just a second. Expect his presence in our problems. Let's start with the first one. Now, they have been brought out of Egypt. And if you read the story, and this is Exodus 14 at the Red Sea. But if you go back a little bit, and the whole story of Exodus is Exodus. It's leaving. It's getting out of Egypt. 430 years in Egypt. Prayers and wailing. And Lord, why don't you deliver us? We're slaves. And all of a sudden, God says, okay, this is the time. And he sends Moses. He calls him. Moses is chosen. Moses takes Aaron. And they go to Pharaoh. And the neat thing is, the challenge is, it's not just Pharaoh, hey, let us go. It's Pharaoh, we're going to challenge your gods. It's implied in the text. Because there's 10 plagues, and all 10 of them, scholars say, is that they were challenging the gods of Egypt. So the blood, the Nile that turned to blood, it was the god of the river, the god of Nile. Here at the very end is darkness. You remember darkness, the 10 plagues. Who was one of the biggest gods of Egypt? Do you remember the sun god, Ra? And if you can descend darkness upon an Egyptian kingdom whose god is supposed to be the sun, your god wins, right? So 10 plagues, 10 challenges. And Pharaoh is just infuriated with Moses. He's infuriated with his god. And finally, the death of the oldest son. It just seems like the Egyptian gods are worthless. And Pharaoh finally says, get out of here. You've defamed us enough. You've defamed our worship. You've defamed our gods. We're done. And he sends them forth. I love it because it says even then that the Egyptians somehow, the slaves have somehow created a bonding with the Egyptians. And it says, the King James says, they plundered the Egyptians. They actually give them gold and silver as they depart and they go off into the wilderness. Now it says very specifically, again, we haven't had time to read the whole passage, but God said, I could have taken them up through the land of the Philistines and taken them right into the promised land. It would have been just a short route and there they are. But here's the interesting thing about the passage, and I want us to catch this because to me it's the heart of the sermon. God said, I didn't take you the short way. I'm going to take you the longer way, and I'm going to take you right into the dead end of the Red Sea. God, in this passage, seems to be causing the problem. In fact, if you read it closely, he did cause the problem. He says, I want you to wander around. I want Pharaoh to figure out that maybe you're just kind of lost and wandering around. God says, if you heard it in the scripture, God says, I want to get glory through the Egyptians. He's planning one final defeat. He's planning one big thing that's going to show who is God. Egypt was the greatest nation upon the planet at the time. But God says, you know what? I'm going to show that their gods are nothing. And that I am the great and awesome God. That's why God caused this. That's why God shapes Israel's history with this one event. Now here's the little tiny point that to me is a very big point. They stand in front of the Red Sea. And in this moment, God doesn't need their belief. In this moment, God doesn't call upon them to pray. In this moment, God doesn't even need their trust. All he says, if you listen, we'll read it here a second. All he says is, be still. He calls for their stillness. He calls for their quietness. All he says is, be still. Watch me. This is my interpretation. Watch me. I've got this. Right? That's a really cool point when you think about it. Look at verse 13 through 14. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." I love that little phrase, "You need only be still." I like what Philip Yancey says, again, a favorite author of mine. In his little, there's a devotional Bible that I read every day. And he says this of this passage. He says, "The only response to the parting of the Red Sea is awe." A-W-E. He says, God doesn't require any trust. He doesn't require any faith. God just says, "I've got this. Watch me do it." And Yancey says, all we can do is stand there and say, "Wow, God, thank you for that miracle in our lives." I love that. I love that because in my life, I need to have more expectation. I'll just speak for myself. And I assume if I'm speaking for myself, maybe I'm speaking for a few of you at least, right? I need more expectation. I don't want to just go day to day to day to day and live my life and say, "Well, I know God's out there somewhere." I want to live my life to say, "Lord, I expect you to do something great in this trouble. I expect you to do something great in this wound that I have from my past. I expect, Lord, a parting of the Red Sea." That's the way I want to live. The problem is with me, and I'm going to assume it might be with you, is that a lot of times we like to pick up our little swords, right? Think about it. Here they are, the Egyptians. Here they're coming with the war chariots. They are armed to the teeth. I mean, everybody's got a sword, the Egyptian army. Everybody's got a shield. The Israelites, they've got a few. The Bible says they've got a few arms, but they've got nothing compared to this huge war army coming after them. You know, wouldn't it be silly if the Israelites said, "Hey, we've got this, Lord," and they pick up their swords? You know, maybe they've got 10,000 swords, say, even. They pick up their swords and they start heading, and they'd have to, first of all, walk through the cloud, right, that's protecting them. That would be silly, wouldn't it? Have to walk through the fire that's protecting them and then tackle the Egyptian army. And that's just kind of a silly picture, I realize. But it's true for me sometimes in my life. Sometimes the Lord says, "Be still, Mark, I've got this. Let me handle this." And the first thing I do is I reach down, right? And I pick up my sword and say, "That's okay, God, I got this." You know, "It's okay, God, let me handle it. I've got the personality. I've got the force of character. I've got," and the Lord just says, "You know what, if you'll just be quiet." Right? Not all the time. Sometimes the Lord wants us to engage. Sometimes the Lord, that's another sermon. Sometimes the Lord wants us to tackle conflict and that. But sometimes the Lord says, "If you be still and just let me do it." And what I've learned is I need to be still and let the Lord do it. It's a hard lesson for me. But I need to be still many times. And if you look at the process, you know, we miss it sometimes, but in the parting of the Red Sea, it says the wind blew all night long. It was a process. It wasn't immediate. I mean, I know Charlton Heston raises the staff, you know, in the TV and the old movie, you know, the waves just parted immediately. But the Bible said it was a process. It took a while. It took trust. It did take trust. It took faith, even though God didn't ask for it. It took a while for that wind to blow across. And I love the fact that one of the older scholars says this about the passage, because God wanted his people, first of all, to walk across on dry ground, not mud, right? But he also wants us to know, I think, is that sometimes there's a lot of process. We wait. We want to pick up the sword, but God says, "Wait, trust." And it builds my character and it builds your character. If we can learn, God sometimes calls only for stillness. In fact, if we read the Message, you know, the Message is a paraphrase. Eugene Peterson started translating the New Testament, then he went to the Old. He died this week. Tremendous hero of faith of mine, Eugene Peterson, translated the whole Bible. And this paraphrase, his words are interesting. Listen to what he says in verse 14 and 16. "God will fight the battle for you. And you... you keep your mouth shut." God said to Moses, "Why cry out to me? Speak to the Israelites. Order them to get moving. Hold your staff high and stretch out your hand over the sea. Split the sea, and the Israelites will walk through the sea on dry ground." Sound like God was impatient, like my little guy, right? Like Elijah. You know, "Elijah, can I help you? I got this, Grampy." You know, he's just impatient. He knows what he's going to do. He knows he's going to do it. And that's kind of the same way God is here. God is saying, "You know what? I just keep your mouth shut. I've got this. I took care of you with the 10 plagues. I took care of the Ra, God Ra of Egypt. I took care of all those Egyptian gods. why don't you just start moving toward the water? Now, for me, you know, I'd be on the sea, you know, the Red Sea's still there, not parted yet. I'd be saying, okay, after you, you know, after you, ladies first, you know. That's what I'd be saying. Maybe you would be too. But, you know, God is simply saying, walk toward the water. Feel the wind in your face. Know that the Holy Spirit is moving. And Moses, he doesn't lack faith. He raises the rod. The wind begins to blow. And through the night, God begins to part the water because God has a plan. Because he knows he's going to take them to the promised land. There's not going to be a sea able to get in the way. There's not an Egyptian army that's going to be able to get in the way. God's going to do it. God says, I've got this. And I believe with all my heart that if we just make God, God, and allow him to do things in our lives and say, Lord, give me a deeper expectation of you, I really believe God can move. God caused the problem in this passage. Adam Clark, one of my great holiness commentators, I've got a book, a set of commentaries from Marcia's grandfather, Larry Neff's dad. It's a great set. Here's what Adam Clark says. He says that the Egyptians were not the ones that caused the problem. God is the one who brought them to the end of themselves at the Dead Sea. At the dead end, and cornered by the Egyptians, trapped them up against the Red Sea. Now here's my paraphrase of Clark. God is the one who painted them into such a corner that the only way out was to look up. And I love that. I love that. That Clark says, you know, it was God. God wanting trust. God wanting them to see that he's not just the one who can bring them out of Egypt, but he's the one that he can take them all the way into the promised land. Stand in front. Face the water. Feel the wind. I believe God does this sometimes because he wants no doubt about who he is. You know, when Marcia and I were younger and trying to have children, Marcia became pregnant, and she was getting very large very quickly, and so we went to the doctor, and the doctor said, okay, well, either it's this horrible disease or it's twins. And of course, all I heard was, it's this horrible disease, right? So it was a Red Sea moment. It was one of those moments where we just didn't know what was going on, and for about a week, we waited and waited and waited, and finally, the doctor said, twins, and that's when the jaw-dropping awe happened. It's like, oh, wow, and the first thing out of my mouth was, how will we ever pay for college, you know? So it was just awe, though, that God was so amazing, and it's wonderful to raise twins. And just, we'll leave it at that. But God puts us up against the Red Sea, and he doesn't want us to pick up the sword. He doesn't want us to fight many times, but just better to look up and say, God, you are the one who has got this. I believe he does it for people. I believe he does it for churches. I'd really believe that when Pastor Brad just kind of opened his heart on October 7th, I just believe that God is opening up the Red Sea for us. I believe that the problems are in the open. I believe that God is sending the wind. I believe that God wants to do an amazing thing to us and through us. And sometimes maybe it's just being still, waiting for that process, waiting for that wind to keep blowing through the night. I realize that relationships take time. I realize that there's a process in all this. But I feel like God has given us a promise that he is going to split the Red Sea, and we have only to be still. My prayer is, Lord, help me to be expectant. Let me expect you to move. Let me walk toward the water. Let me face the water. Let me feel the wind. This very miracle will shape Israel's history for all of time. The psalmist will talk about it and sing about it over and over again. I was having my devotions this week in the book of Psalms and did not plan to run across it, but in Psalm 66, 5 through 6, here's what I ran across. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. I love that for us. Let us rejoice in him. We can walk through the waters, I believe, on foot, because God can open the sea. The prophets will look back to this event. They'll bring it up over and over again, stirring the conscience of a nation, talking about how good God is, how awesome he is, how he can change us all. Nehemiah, one of my favorite prophets, he's one of the last ones. He gives this long, long, long history of Israel, but guess what he focuses on and spends a lot of time on? The Red Sea. The Red Sea. It's because they had nowhere to go, but right there, God said, you are my people, chosen, my nation, you are mine. The Red Sea, the wounds, the problems, when we look to God, we are his, and that is our greatest hope of all. I know sometimes the problem seems very, very great. Sometimes the wound seems very, very deep. And we say to ourselves, you know what? I've lost all motivation to move ahead. I've lost all motivation to head toward the Red Sea. I just feel like my emotions are cold, my tears are dry. I've got no ideas left to even try. But that's when God wants to do a miracle in your life. Are you ready for that? I believe that communion today can be your miracle. It can be a miracle in your life. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what wounds have been deep from the past, and there are wounds that are from the past that people share with me and people share with you. Only God can bring light and healing into those wounds. We've got problems in our life, and sometimes we're up against the Red Sea, and they're just so big and so wide, we just think, oh, there's no way to even begin to see the other side. But God, through communion, through the cross of Jesus Christ, will say, I've got this. Trust me, I've got this. You have only to be still. It's even hard to be still in our devotion sometimes, isn't it? You know, I get up in the morning, I have my routine, and I go into the Psalms, and I go into my Bible, I go into my devotional book, and you know, by that time I've told God everything he needs to do for me during the day. That was supposed to be a joke, apparently very bad. But you know what? I'm trying the discipline of listening more, right? Especially after I started this sermon a few weeks ago. Just, you have only to be still to listen. It's hard to listen. It's easier to pick up the sword. It's hard to listen, but to be still before him. And in this communion, as we're taking it today, I'd like it to be a special time. We have like four stations up and down each side, and then you have one in the front. And if you would like to just take some quiet time at the end, I'll read a couple more scriptures, but we're going to have some quiet time. And just say, Lord, I need you today. I expect you, Lord, to work and to do a miracle today. The wounds from the past, the stuff, the junk from my past, and the problems of my present. If you would just do something great today, I'll be still before you. And then listen. Listen and just be quiet at least for a few moments. And let the God of Israel be the one that we look up to today. I believe as Christians, we come to communion. We come in as a special time. It is the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for us. It is the shed blood of Jesus Christ, shed for us, for the atonement of sins. But beyond even sins, I believe it's a dependency. It's saying, Lord, I'm looking up today. I need you today. And in the quietness, in the stillness today, would you do something for me that's great? Part the Red Sea. Lord, I want to walk across. One final concept, and I love this, in the Exodus, the children of Israel, before they leave Egypt, you remember they were called to the Passover for the very first time. And for the very first time, they would sacrifice a lamb, and they put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. And the symbol was, I am of the family of Yahweh. I'm a child of God. Isn't that great? And so it is for us today. I am a child of God. When we partake of the blood, we are declaring, I am a child of God. The blood covers my sins. The blood covers my life. And our family, as we partake of it together, we are covered together by the love and the blood of Jesus Christ. The cross is jaw-dropping awe, and that's the only response to communion and to the cross. Our final little statement, be still enough to face the water and feel the wind. Try to remember that this week. When you're going through the week and you're facing maybe the same problem, maybe another problem, but just say, Lord, help me to be still enough to face the water and to feel the wind. I'd like to pray for you. We're just going to incorporate some concepts that we've talked about and we've preached about. So I'd like you to bow your heads with me, if you would. Just bow your heads, close your eyes. And if you'd pray this prayer with me, and then we're going to partake of communion. Lord, there are many, many times that we don't have this. There are problems that are just so overwhelming. There are wounds that just go so deep. But Lord, today, we expect and we believe that Jesus Christ, the one from the cross, the one who died for us, who atoned for our sins, and also lives for us and through us, can give us, Lord, exactly what we need and even beyond. Lord Jesus, give us of yourself today through communion. As we partake of the blood and as we partake of the broken body of Jesus Christ, let us expect that you will heal any wound from the past, no matter how deep. Help us believe, Lord, that you're going to work through the problems that we face. Help us to believe that today, even today, the Holy Spirit will come, the wind will start to blow, and the waves will start to part. We believe, Lord, that we mess it up in our own strength, and so today in communion, we give it to you. We ask you to take care of whatever it is, and most of all, help us be still to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. In your name, we praise you. Amen.